For our scripture reading tonight, will you turn with me to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. And we'll read in that chapter, beginning with the sixth verse. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. There is nothing that more clearly indicates the wickedness of the human heart than the first word that we read. Seek. Seek ye the Lord. The very fact that those words had to be spoken indicates clearly that no man naturally seeks after God. Instead of seeking God, man spends his days hiding from God, running from God. And nothing indicates more clearly the grace of God than that word seek. The Son of Man, said the Lord Jesus, is come to seek and to save that which was lost. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And but for the grace of God seeking the sinner, there would be no hope for any of us. There is none, the scripture says, there is none, not one that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. But oh, praise God. It's a faithful saying. And it's worthy, the scripture says, of everyone believing it, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now this word seek is not a bit of advice. It's a command of God. Seek ye the Lord. The gospel is preached for the obedience of faith. It's not something you can take it or leave it. When you leave it and continue in your rebellion, you are just sealing your own eternal doom. If you leave it, we can guarantee you on the authority of God's word, you're going to be lost forever. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. It's a faithful saying and worthy of our acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Isaiah wept. And he said, Lord, they have not all obeyed the gospel. The gospel is a message to be obeyed. God expects a response of obedience. The gospel, said Paul, is preached for the obedience of faith. It demands by its very nature that you respond, if you're going to respond in a way that's going to bless you, by just simply believing the gospel message. And Paul said he wasn't ashamed of the gospel. The reason he wasn't ashamed, because he said, it's the power of God. It is. The message is. It's a living word. It's the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. There are just four words that are suggested by this passage, and I want to call your attention. Seek ye the Lord. Call upon the Lord. Forsake your way. Return unto the Lord. Four words. And all of them are words of command. Just four words to describe God's wonderful way of salvation. The word is very specific. Seek ye the Lord. It doesn't say seek your health or your wealth or seek your pleasure. God doesn't have to tell us that. Man seeks his wealth. He spends his days seeking to earn a livelihood. Doesn't have to be advised to do that. His health, man will spend any amount of money to get his health back. And someone has said, to lose your wealth is much. To lose your health is more. But to lose your soul, that's such a loss that nothing can restore. We're reminded today from God's Word, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall he give in exchange for his soul? It doesn't say seek health, seek pleasure, seek wealth. It says seek ye the Lord. The reason it tells us to seek the Lord is because there is no one in the universe that can save you except Him. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. And I want you to notice what it says. There is none other name under heaven given among men. The only opportunity that you'll ever have to be saved is in this world, in your lifetime. The scripture says, the Lord Jesus says, the Son of Man hath power on earth, not in heaven, and not in hell, and not in purgatory. The Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. And the scripture says that if you die in your sins, you're not going to make it. The Savior said, whither I go, ye cannot come. And so this is not merely advice or a suggestion. It is a command from the throne of God, seek ye the Lord. God now commands all men everywhere to repent. And to repent and to believe the gospel. Call ye upon him while he is near. There's a wonderful promise given to that expression, call ye upon him. Romans chapter 10, you remember, we read, there is no difference. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And whosoever, young or old, black or white, learned or unlearned, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Many years ago, there was a man that came from England, and his name was Henry Morehouse. And he sort of badgered D.L. Moody to speak in the church of which Moody was the pastor in Chicago. And Moody happened to be away, said, okay, let him come and speak. And when he came back, he asked his wife, how was the young preacher doing? Well, he said, he's been doing pretty well. I said, go and hear him for yourself. And he went to hear this boy wonder, they called him, Henry Morehouse. And he spoke seven successive nights on John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We sang tonight that verse, that hymn by P.P. Bliss. I am so glad that my Father in heaven. P.P. Bliss was there the night he spoke on whosoever. He wrote that hymn after listening to the message by Henry Morehouse, whosoever heareth, shout, shout the sound. Spread the blessed tidings all the world around. Tell the joyful news wherever man is found. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever cometh need not delay. Now the way is open, enter while you may. Jesus is the true, the only living way. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, the promise is secure. Whosoever will, forever must endure. Whosoever will, 'tis life forevermore. Whosoever will may come. And C.H. Spurgeon said hell would be filled with the whosoever won'ts, and heaven will be filled with the whosoever wills. Seek ye the Lord. And if you have not sought the Lord, what you are is a rebel. Because you are rebelling against the authority of Almighty God. In His Word, He says, and it's to you He speaks, and to me, seek ye the Lord. While he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. And then not only that, we're told to leave. Let the wicked forsake his way. You know, we think about the wicked, we think of some, the publicans and the harlots and all that kind of thing. That's what we think of as the wicked. But the Lord Jesus never called any of those people wicked. The tax collectors and the prostitutes. Never did he call them wicked. But I'll tell you who he called wicked. The proud religious Pharisees who drew near with him with their mouth, but their heart was far from him. And there's many a person that has been brought up and everybody has said, my, he's such a good boy, or she's such a good girl. But in their heart, for years, they have said into the appeal of Christ, I will not, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling to you and to me. See, on the threshold, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and me. Have you come? Come home! The sinner is away from God. And that's the tragedy of his life. And the answer to his problems is to come. Come home. Ye are weary. Come home. Let the wicked forsake his way and let him return unto the Lord. No one will ever get very far with God until they come to that moment in their experience. When they say, like that prodigal son in the far country, I will arise and go to my father. And I'll say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. No more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. The Lord makes an unconditional promise here in his word. Let the wicked forsake his way. Righteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon received. You could have been just like that dying thief on the cross, cursing the Lord Jesus. And a moment later, turning to him and say, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. And there is no one on earth that has ever received greater assurance of salvation than that man did. Verily, I say unto you, the Lord gave his oath of assurance and he gave his word. I say, here is the one with whom it is impossible to lie. I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And that man is a picture of every one of us in this room. If his salvation depended on him doing something, he was at the end of the road because his hands were nailed. He couldn't do anything. If it depended on him going somewhere, if it depended on him going to church or going anywhere, he didn't have a chance. He was sunk. But you know, there are only two things that you need to be saved. You need to have an ear, and you need to have a mouth. You need to have a heart to believe. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as your Lord, believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt feel saved. You remember how it reads? That is not what it says. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as your Lord, Lord Jesus, I will trust you. I'll trust you with my soul. He gives his word, his precious word. It stands forever true. You take him at his word, rest upon his promise. You can know with assurance that you're saved for time and for eternity. While it is true, no one ever had any greater assurance than that dying thief. I can tell you on the authority of the word of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, you can have equal assurance. Listen to these words recorded in John 6:47. Verily, there's his oath. I say unto you, he gives us his oath and his word so that we can have a double assurance. I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath, not maybe, hath everlasting life. Isn't that simple? We used to sing in Sunday school, it's simple as can be. It's just as clear as ABC. He came to save. His life he gave to rescue you and me. Don't wait until you're older. But trust while Christ is nigh, and by his grace you'll see his face. In GLORY. Many, many years ago, there came to the city of Chicago a young man. His father was a pastor of a church, and he wrote to Reuben Torrey, who was then the president, I think it was, of the Moody Bible Institute. He was the one that was appointed by D.L. Moody himself, the first man to have that position. His pastor wrote him and told him his son, teenager, was causing him nothing but trouble. He said, I just can't manage him. I just thought, if he could come there to the Moody Bible Institute, it might help him. And Reuben Torrey wrote back and he said, we're running a Bible school, not a reform school. But this pastor wasn't content with that. And he wrote him back and pled with Reuben Torrey to just have his son come there. And Reuben Torrey finally agreed. He said, with the understanding that every day that young man had to report to him personally. And if there was some major infraction, he was going to ship him out. So that was the terms under which he came. And Torrey said, I never met a young man in my life who was more mixed up in trouble than this young man was. But after he'd been there for a few weeks, I could tell by the glow on his face when he came into my office one day that he was a new man in Christ. That man became quite a well-known Bible teacher in the United States. And he put his testimony in song. He wrote, years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. By God's word, at last, my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Now, I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing Calvary. Oh, the love he wrote that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God has spanned at Calvary. That was a testimony of William R. Newell. God reached down and saved him. And I don't care what your life has been. It may have been just as troubled. It may be just as troubled as his life was. But the Lord Jesus is able to save to the very end all that come unto God by him. He's a mighty Savior. He's a just God and a Savior. And he says, look unto me and be saved. For I am God and there is none else. Did you notice when we were reading, there was a time limitation put on this. Tonight may be the very last time you'll ever hear the gospel of the grace of God preached. Life at best is a very uncertain thing. We do not know what a day may bring forth. And notice what it says. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And the Lord Jesus spoke of a day. The day when the door of grace would be closed forever. He said, when once the master of the house has risen up and shut to the door, many will stand without knocking. Lord, Lord, open to us. It'll be too late. There are millions of people for whom it'll be too late, no matter when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. If he comes in your lifetime or not. And there are two things that will eliminate your possibility to be saved. Death or the Lord's return. When the Lord Jesus stood up in his hometown of Nazareth, he read, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The acceptable year of the Lord. That's the day in which we live. Today is accepted time. Today is the day of God's salvation. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it back to the minister. And the very next words are these. And the day of vengeance of our God. He's going to open that book. The one who once came as a Savior. The one who is not willing that any should perish. He's coming back as a judge. The one who once hung on Calvary's cross and was judged for your sins and mine is going to come back to judge every sinner for their sins. And what a day. What an awful day that will be. In return to the Thessalonian epistles, it says, the Lord Jesus, think of it, the one who once hung on Calvary, the one who closed the book when he said the acceptable year of the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that obey not God and the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Are you saved? Can you honestly say, yes, I'm one of those that has sought the Lord? If you have, I know you're saved. And the reason I know it is because of what he said. He said, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. He hasn't turned down one person who's ever applied to him. Everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And I would challenge you tonight. Forget about the pleasures of life. Tonight, just where you are in your heart, say, yes, I'm going to seek the Lord. I want him as my Savior. Come to him. Just as a guilty, helpless, hopeless, and hell-deserving sinner and say, Lord, I know I don't deserve anything. All of my life I've been running away from you, but I'm tired of running. And say, just as I am, Lord, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings within and fears without. O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee, whose blood can cleanse each spot. O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, Thou wilt receive. Welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because Thy promise, I believe. O Lamb of God, I come. Francis Ridley Havergal, that Christian poetess, wrote so many of the lovely hymns. We've sung some of them since we've been here. She wrote a lovely hymn. The first verse, I could not do without Him. Jesus is more than me. One of the verses that she writes in that, it says, what will you do without Him? When He has shut the door, and you are left outside because you would not come before. And it's no use knocking. No use to stand and wait. For the word of doom tolls through your heart. That terrible, too late, too late, too late. What will you do without Him when the great white throne is set? And the judge you never can mistake and never can forget. The judge whom you have never here, as friend and Savior sought, shall summon you to give account of deed and word and thought. Ah, she asked, why will you do that? Why? What reason? Is He not kind? Did He not die to save you? Why will you do without Him? It is not yet. He has not closed the day of grace. He has not shut the gate. He calls you. Oh, He calls you. He wouldn't have you go another step without Him because He loves you. So, the Son of God loved you. He gave Himself for you. How can you resist His love so amazing, so divine? He stands, as our brother was saying, softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling for you and for me. Come home. Come home. You are weary. Aren't you tired of sin and straying? Come home. He stands to welcome you, and He promises if you come, He'll receive you. May God grant that if you're here without Christ, tonight will be the night when you'll come. Amen.